This is KBNF Regional News for Friday, April 18th. I'm Patricia Naft. Democrats at the state capitol killed an abortion rights bill on Wednesday just before the Senate was about to debate it on the floor. As Benta Berkland reports, the bill marked a stark contrast to the overall Democratic agenda so far this session, which has not been focused on social issues.
Senate Bill 175 was dubbed the anti-personhood measure. It was broadly written and would have banned Colorado from, quote, enacting any policy that denies or interferes with an individual's reproductive health care decisions. The Archdiocese of Denver condemned the bill, and hundreds of people protested the measure earlier this week. Democratic sponsor Andy Kerr of Lakewood says he pulled the bill because Republicans threatened to hold other measures hostage. Republicans who are in the minority scoffed at that idea. Democrats see abortion as a wedge issue that appeals to independent women voters who are worried about restrictions on reproductive rights. They just the opposite, that the measure would have mobilized their base ahead of the November election. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Colorado has one of the country's highest rates of un- or under-vaccinated school children, and some school districts in western Colorado have rates five times higher than the state average. The majority of those kids have personal belief exemptions, which allow parents to easily opt out of some or all vaccines. A bill in the State House would try to change that by requiring parents to talk to a doctor or watch an online class on the risks and benefits of vaccines before signing a personal belief exemption. But a Senate committee cut those requirements out of the bill yesterday. KBNF's Emily Guerin has more.
Senator Irene Aguilar is the bill's Senate sponsor. She says the intent behind the original legislation was to present parents with evidence-based information.
As you know, knowing one person who something bad has happened to carries a million times more weight than 10 double-blind, placebo-controlled scientific studies. And so we'd really like to be sure that people have gotten a balanced report on what the risks and benefits are. I think the people who strongly oppose vaccination are perhaps more swayed by some stories they've heard as opposed to what the research shows, what the data is.
Teresa Rangum is the executive director of the National Vaccine Information Center, which promotes vaccine skepticism. She says the education requirement unfairly and unlawfully singles out parents who don't want to vaccinate.
When you go into your doctor, say for a pap smear or strep throat, does your doctor sign off on any piece of paper saying that they've informed you of the risks and benefits and that you've decided to say no and has given their approval saying that you have adequate education to say no? It's no different. You know, they're not educating everyone. They're educating parents who are making a different choice by assuming they're uneducated and then foisting upon them their own brand of education and then approving. That's not education. That's coercion and harassment, real plain and simple.
Of course, vaccines are different from pap smears because the thing a pap smear is designed to prevent, cervical cancer, is not contagious. Diseases like measles and whooping cough are. And so while the choice not to get a vaccine is a personal one, it can have an impact on others. Still, lawmakers removed the education requirement from the bill after hearing from constituents who shared Rangum's concerns. Now, all that's left is for schools to disclose the percentage of unvaccinated students in their district. Sundari Kraft is with the pro-vaccine group Vaccinate for Healthy Schools. She says that, in her opinion, the disclosure aspect of the bill is the most important.
And what we know about vaccine exemptions is the statewide number isn't really what's important. What is important are these clusters of unvaccinated kids. And sometimes in certain schools or in certain communities, there can be a cluster of unvaccinated children, which absolutely could cause an outbreak of vaccine-preventable diseases, which can affect the entire school. It can also affect the young infants in the families that come to the school who maybe are too young to be vaccinated. It can put immunocompromised kids at risk. It can affect elderly grandparents of the kids who go to the schools. There's a lot of risk in having a cluster of unvaccinated kids.
If the bill passes the Senate, parents will have easy access to vaccine rates for every public school in the state. Kraft says that's important for parents to make educated choices about which schools they want to send their kids to. Statewide, just over 4% of kindergartners were not fully vaccinated upon starting public school. But in western Colorado, some school districts have much higher rates of un- or under-vaccinated kids than that. Clusters like these have been associated with whooping cough outbreaks in other states. In Lake City, for example, 29% of students are not fully immunized. In Ouray, it's about 25%. The districts with the lowest rates of on- or under-vaccinated kids are Montrose with 6.7% and Norwood with 7.6%. Still, both are above the state average. We'll be airing a special local motion on vaccine exemption in western Colorado on May 20th. In the meantime, visit kvnf.org to see your district's exemption rate. For KVNF, I'm Emily Guerin.
The Palisade peach has lost its chance to be named the state fruit of Colorado. Earlier this year, Denver fourth grader Nick Babiak convinced a House committee that the Palisade peach should be the state fruit. But the entire House killed that bill yesterday after cantaloupe growers from Rocky Ford in eastern Colorado objected to the idea. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, the melon growers said all Colorado's produce should be promoted equally. But Babiak said cantaloupes aren't technically fruit, they're vegetables. He suggested melon growers, quote, get off their hiney and introduce their own bill for cantaloupes to be the state melon and leave his peach bill alone. In a last-ditch attempt to save his bill, Babiak proposed an amendment that would qualify the Palisade peach as the state's official stone fruit. But lawmakers didn't like the idea of promoting one crop over another, so they voted it down. Stay tuned for the Friday Morning Music Mix with Alan. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.